We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
How few of the human race have ever had an opportunity of choosing a system of government for themselves?
They're acting like they're bigger than government.
Mark Reardon.
Pay attention to science, 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 and science.
Whoa, whoa, slow down. I'm a scientist, and that was still fast.
The Mark Reardon Show is on now.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to a Thursday edition, ladies and gentlemen. Sue Thomas is in the house, looking very nice today, I must point out.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Your other line of work called, so you're all dressed up and fancy. Dave Klein looks like he always does.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never get any compliments on my appearance.
Well, you have a blue Stanley Cup t-shirt on. That's about as fancy as you get today, Dave. And by the way, I just said this before the show. How about Pat Maroon?
Love it.
Shouldn't he just retire?
You would think.
I mean,
so.
I guess maybe. Can they do a three-peat if you're going to come back for a three? But is he going to win another Stanley Cup? Maybe he will someday, but good Lord, he's got three in a row. Let's just kind of sit back
for the Lightning and a four-peat for him.
Right.
Dave, how old is he? Do you know?
Off the top of my head, I don't know. I want to say early 30s. I want to say 34. 33?
All right, hang on.
I watched a fair amount of the NHL playoffs before the finals. I had no interest in the finals just because I figured it was going to end up that way. I'm a little surprised Montreal didn't put up more of a fight. They won game three?
They won game four.
Four.
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Anyway. Yeah. So game two tonight of the NBA finals. The Bucks got to get back into that. I got Frank Cusimano in a milkshake at Crown Candy Kitchen.
Ooh.
On
he's
the
33,
line.
He's 33, by the way.
33 years old for Pat Maroon.
How long do you play hockey? Like 39
if you get,
or 40?
Yeah, I was going to say, if you get to 40, yeah. you're lucky.
All right.
It takes a lot of wear
he's
and tear
got some
in your
good
body.
Years then. Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty left. Much, although these ages are changing. You know, you look at Aaron Rodgers and
that's
Tom
true.
Brady and some of the other professional athletes who never would have played this long in their careers. But, you know, I think training has become different. Nutrition is different. Their bodies are healthier for a variety of reasons as they pay attention to that. I want to start here with something that I think we'll all have some relatability to. So there's a story, and Lewis Reed, who's the president of the Board of Aldermen in the city of St. Louis, is going to come on a little bit later and explain this. There was a proposal for some of the money that is, you know, sent from the feds to spend on pandemic relief, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they voted on that in a committee yesterday. They sent it to the full Board of Aldermen. They're going to take it up this week. Lewis is going to explain all that. One of the plans that was included here by the progressives on the Board of Aldermen was to take some of the money and cut checks to people, to working class and poor people who needed the money in St. Louis. So basically, you're getting a $500 check. So this morning, and I don't even want to say who this is, and I think people who follow the show probably know, but some idiot at the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, and believe me, outside of the sports page, that's very difficult to narrow down. I love the sports people. I think the business model for the Post moving forward, why wouldn't they do this? Just split off the sports page. Give us a sports page, and then all that other nonsense that's in your paper, we don't want. I think that would be a great plan. So this moron at the Post, again, hard to kind of single him out, said, there is not a single logical, political, or moral reason for Lewis Reed to oppose direct $500 payments to working class and poor St. Louisans to help them recover from the pandemic. It is the simplest proven, that's interesting,
proven,
bipartisan way to help families recover. Saying no is just mean. So I guess, and there was some guy named Chris Preener, he's some indoctrinator at St. Louis University. I think he's a professor. And he responded to that tweet by saying this. He said, robbing the poor to help the rich, a St. Louis tale. So my response was, and this got into, Sue, you've only worked with me for a few months, but every once in a while, Dave knows this, I like to get into a Twitter battle or two, right? Not as much as Jane, not as much as Duker, but I do like to kind of poke the bear every once in a while.
When you go hard, though.
Well, sometimes I do, and sometimes it's like where Steve Moore gets involved and says, why are you tweeting that? So I'm trying to be on my best behavior, right?
Good.
But in this case, and this was a retweet of his tweet that said, robbing the poor to help the rich, a St. Louis tale. I said, or, and I know this is crazy, this is nuts, right? Instead of $500 cash handouts, how about they get a $15 to $20 an hour job? Because those are in supply everywhere right now. And I know that's nuts. Work is just stupid. But why wouldn't you do that? So anyway, the guy from SLU comes in, and now people start, you know, calling me names because I'm intellectually lazy. He said, and I retweeted this because I thought this was interesting. Chris Prenner said, let's call a spade a spade. First of all, trigger warning on that deal, right? He just called me a spade. I don't think you can do that anymore. What Mark Reardon, KFTK, is saying is that people who are unemployed or who are, quote, working poor are lazy. Oldest rhetorical trick in the book when it comes to poverty. And it's just wrong. Really, the only laziness here is Mark's intellectual laziness. So I actually said this in response to that tweet. I said, well, since demand for workers is pretty much at an all-time high, I'm going to rate this as partially true. That, yes, I do think that some people are lazy. But outside of lazy, of which there are many, okay, and I don't care if you're white, black, it doesn't matter. There are a lot of lazy people out there. And by the way, there is no doubt at this point, after people were paid not to work for an entire year, that many, and I can't criticize. Look, if I'm someone who's struggling and I'm only making 10 bucks an hour, whatever the number is, and the government's going to come in and pay me more money with, that's a no-brainer.
Well, sure.
Why in the hell wouldn't I take that deal?
Yeah.
Unless you're trying to benefit yourself in the future, which is kind of where I'm going to take this conversation. So I think that applying for a job, and this is what I said, what's wrong? What's so wrong about applying for a job, learning new skills, taking home a paycheck instead of handouts? Well, the white privileged talk show host can say that, but you've never worked a day of, you know, hard work in your life. That's what I was told over and over. And I wanted to address that a little bit because most people are going to have that response when they see, you know, a talk show host or someone in media. I sit in a chair behind a microphone. It's not that hard, right? But I've been doing it for a long time. And when I, what was your first job, Sue Thomas?
I typed invoices for a manufacturer's rep.
Was this in high school?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And he had a little office at home, and I would go over there. He was like the age of my grandfather, and he would save them up all week, and I had a manual, well, no, I guess it was electric, typewriter, would type up all his little invoices and give it to him, and his wife fed me cookies.
Oh, that's nice.
Sounds it like, was really nice.
No
Mr.
offense,
Keniston.
But it sounds like an extremely boring job, right?
Well, it was only a couple hours, and I really liked
yeah,
him.
Okay,
it was
well,
sweet.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
But that's how you started your work life, and then I'm sure there were a lot of other jobs that came before radio. Dave, what was your first job?
You know, I've actually been talking my whole life. My first job was when I was 16. I worked at the Gateway Arch as a tour guide.
Oh, I remember that.
Love.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So I worked there from high school throughout college, and
oh, that's
I loved
great.
It. It was a lot of fun.
Okay, so the first actual work that I did where I was paid, and this is on my Social Security statements from 1975 and 76 or 76 and 77, is my parents, who felt like teaching children the value of work was something that was
a good
beneficial
thing.
And a good thing, decided that I would, and look, I was interested. It wasn't like they forced me into a labor camp, but we had an aunt and uncle of my mom who had a farm outside of Chicago, not too far from Aurora, Illinois, where, you know, what was it? Stan Mikita's Donuts is located. That's just a Wayne's World thing. Really doesn't exist. But anyway, I worked on this farm for 2 years. I walked soybean fields. You know what that means?
No.
I walked miles and miles of soybean fields with a hoe. They don't do this anymore because of Monsanto. And there would be, I don't know, four or five of us across the field. Take four rows at a time. You pull the weeds out. It's 100 degrees.
That sounds exhausting.
It was terrible. And that was just the morning work, okay? And then you go and you do the rest of the stuff on the farm. The great thing about working on a farm is you eat a lot. And I really love that. And it was a great great experience. I did this for 2 summers. I earned a little money. I mean, honestly, the minimum wage back then was about $2.50. So out of that, I started cutting lawns, and I did that. I told you, this is why I don't cut my own lawn, because I did that. I started in radio when I was 15 years old because I was motivated.
Right.
I wanted to learn about radio. This is what I wanted to do. So when I was 15, I took it upon myself to... Well, my parents helped with this. There was a little station out in West St. Louis County, KYMC. It was a YMC program, YMCA program. But beyond that, this is a radio station. And I'm going to offer myself as an example because I have a huge ego and it's my show. But I think there are lessons to be learned here. So I decided, look, just doing this show on this radio station is fine, but I want to do something more than that. And this station had no record companies that were giving any record service to it. So I went out. And I did that. Found the record guys locally, started getting record service for this radio station, ended up working for some of these record guys as sort of an intern.
Wait, what does that mean, record service?
Well,
for these?
So used to be in radio. Let's use Y98 as an example. You go back 40 years, the record company folks would say, we want you to play this song by,
record reps.
You know, Bette Midler, not Bette Midler, Betty Davis Eyes, Kim Carnes. Remember, that's the number one song from 40 years ago. So they would send copies of the record to the radio station, usually multiple copies. So the program director gets one, the music director gets one, and then you know, record that record into the cart machine, which we used to have, and then play. So the record companies would work those records. They want to get the hot records on. They want to make sure that you're spinning those records. So I ended up doing stuff like that, and that took me to journalism school and beyond. But hard work really is not just sometimes physical labor. I've done things that have been very difficult physical. I decided that was not for me, and I want to do something that is not with physical labor because this was my passion, right?
It's a motivator for sure.
But, you know, if you're, and this is where I want to take this conversation about work and handouts, because I think handouts, by the way, there are a lot of things that are built into this proposal using this money from the feds for rental assistance, things along those lines that would help truly people that are in need. But to write a check and just start telling... Now, there was some formula to determine who gets the $500 check.
I was going to ask how that was determined.
Well, I don't think there's a clear path.
Doesn't really matter, I guess.
But let's go back to the tweet by the moron at the Post-Dispatch. Think about this. Okay, now, we can have a conversation, by the way, with one of the people that was hitting me on Twitter. I said, if you had the same conversation in the aftermath of a terrible worldwide pandemic that has hit people extremely hard here, and we didn't have trillions of dollars in payments going out to people who couldn't work, and we didn't have unemployment benefits that lasted forever, then I think I'd be in favor of a $500 check. But let's not forget that we've had checks that have been sent out, multiple checks. So at this point, there are jobs that are available. But I did open that up to the possibility that, look, if this was a different circumstance, but how can you, all right, now you know the facts of all this. So think about the idiotic tweet by Tony Messenger. I'll name him because he's such an idiot. It's unbelievable. This is a guy I used to follow. Well, because it makes me so mad because Tony was a guy that I really respected. I used to read his columns in the Columbia Daily Tribune when he was there. He went to Springfield. He came here to St. Louis, and I think he did a good job for a while, but then he became woke, and there is no turning back from his wokeness. It's embarrassing. So he says, there is not a single logic. I've just presented single logical, political, or moral reasons to oppose $500 direct payments to working class and poor St. Louisans. I can give you a list of 100 things, and I just started ticking them off. Let's talk about logical. Logical is how do you pick who's going to get the $500 and who's not?
Yeah.
And what's the guarantee they're going to use that money for things that they really need? That's why you do rental assistance, and you can have food assistance, whatever people need. I'm not opposed to getting people the things that they need, but $500 checks is not the best way to do this.
And you tweeted that to him, right? Your other ideas of rental assistance
That's actually not to him because I got no patience for him. But in some of the responses that I got on Twitter, I asked the question. I said, well, because somebody was telling me, I think it was the Chris Printer guy, that's the oldest rhetorical trick in the book. He never responded to this. I said, what's the trick? What's the trick? I would support handouts coming out of a terrible year if the job market dried up, but the job market is literally dripping with opportunities. And if you haven't seen signs where they're offering $15 an hour, signing bonus, all these things, well, then you're looking in the wrong place. Now, people will come back and say, well, these are people that don't have any skills and they may not qualify for these jobs. Well, how much qualification do you need to take a lawnmower and cut someone's lawn? I mean, there's all kinds of things that people can do if they put their mind to it. Now, why is it? Here's the philosophical question. Why is it that I valued work and I still value work and I try to instill that in my children? Why did you value work, Dave? Because you came out of high school and college and you found job. Why do you value work, Sue? Why is it that some people don't value work? I would say there's a variety of reasons for that, but you can't tell me that families in urban America with no fathers, no real parental influence. I have friends that have worked in charter schools in St. Louis, and this is sad, and it's sad for the kids because the kids are the victims. There are mothers that pull up to schools dropping their kids off when the schools are actually closed. When told that the school's not open on that particular day, I got other things to do, right? So I'm just going to drop. These are things that happen. We can't relate with some of the things that happen in urban America. It's terrible. And the kids are being left behind. But the progressive liberals, and their solution is just to throw more money. Let's throw more money at education. Let's cut people checks. Let's pull people out of poverty by giving them as much money from people who earn money as you possibly can. Now, I'm not trying to be non-empathetic to the needs of people who truly are living in poverty. And by the way, I've said this many times, the level of poverty that we're talking about when it comes to people in St. Louis or other areas, it's not even close to what real poverty is around the world. Real poverty does not involve big screen televisions, okay? It doesn't. It doesn't involve electricity. It doesn't involve, you know, heat or air conditioning. Now, there are people that are living in that situation in St. Louis. So that's a terrible thing. We should help people. Government should be there to assist people, but not to just cut them checks nonstop. What's the end result of that going to be? What's the end result in the logical, Tony Messenger? What's the logical reason to cut someone a check because they need the money? Why stop at $500? Let's go to $1,000. Why stop at $15 for the minimum wage? Let's go to $20 an hour, $25 an hour. What are the answers?
Also, it's not a long-term solution.
That's my point. It is not a long-term solution. So I'm actually asking questions because if we don't get to a situation in urban America where we cannot teach people to have skills, I'm not even opposed to revamping the entire education system in cities in particular because we're clearly not focusing on the right thing. And if people are coming out of school thinking that they don't have a future, thinking that gangbanging is the only path to making money— well, we've got to address that in a different way than by just saying, oh, it's the terrible white dudes on the Board of Aldermen and the talk show hosts that never worked a day in their life and they just want to hold money back from people who really need it. It's a bunch of nonsense. And I think most people, and I give credit to Jack Cutter, who is a regular roundtable participant. He's on the Board of Aldermen. Luckily, the sane members of the board said, nah, there's a better way to do this.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
I'm going to get in trouble. I think Sue's going to be on my case because I started to tell her off the air this this bird story. I have these stupid barn swallows that terrorize me.
They are not stupid.
Well, okay. They're annoying, and they poop everywhere. But I'll tell you my story after the top of the hour before we get into Sue's news because there was an incident today at the house. My wife is out of town. Remember I told you that? So I can
do things.
And I was so bored last night. I told Dave. I was so bored I didn't know what to do with myself. I was very excited because I had thawed some venison and was going to make some venison spaghetti. Interestingly enough, you need actual spaghetti to cook spaghetti, and I did not have
that last night.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Big time fail there.
I wasn't really planning ahead too much, was I? John Ziegler is with me this afternoon, and he is fired up As always, you can find his work on Mediaite.com. How are you, Zig? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
I'm doing okay. Good to talk to you, Mark.
Let me start with this. I heard that once again now, because of fear porn, you have a bit of a mask situation in California, but only in government buildings. What did Newsom do?
I have to acknowledge I've been out all day. If that's new news, it's new to me. I don't spend a lot of time in government buildings.
Yeah, well, here's what I heard. I think what they're saying is that if you're in a government building at this point, I don't know if this is statewide or whatever, but you got to wear masks again. Because they're worried about, yeah, I know. If you're vaccinated, don't forget.
COVID love government buildings.
Yeah, they discriminate a lot against, it's youth sports here in St. Louis and then government buildings and bars, but not before 10 o'clock, John. Remember that. If you're at a bar between 7 and 10 o'clock, you're free. You don't have to worry about that. We learned that.
What I want to know, Mark, is do vaccines work or do they not? Because that's the core, the root of all of the insanity that you're just referring to.
I know.
You pick a lane, people. I believe they work. What's funny is that, you know, it's somehow the conservatives are often being referred to as the anti-vax people. I believe in vaccines, so let's act like they work. But liberals want to go in the opposite direction and have it both ways. They want to claim they work but act like they don't.
Don't you feel – now, look, there's a lot of focus on my state right now because we do have a bit of a variant explosion the way it's being described in some parts of the state.
Explosion?
But, John, I'm just telling you what they're saying. But I'm saying this. I think that we better prepare ourselves because you know as well as I do, we get into the fall, all this stuff is coming back. The mask mandates, all the nonsense will come.
I fear you're right, but I it's just, look, we're averaging 16,000 new cases a day in America with 200 deaths, with 60-some% of the population vaccinated and another certain percentage, no one knows, having immunity either naturally or from having already gotten the virus. That is not a situation that can ever become an emergency. It's nowhere close to an emergency right now. It's one of those. It's an unfortunate situation we have to deal with. If those were the numbers a year ago, and that was, and let's say we topped out there even before vaccinations, no one would have taken this seriously. I mean, it's not. Those are not numbers that warrant governmental intervention. They just don't.
By the way, not even the numbers. I don't really care how many cases are coming up. I really don't, because a lot of the cases are asymptomatic. There are people who have been vaccinated or have natural immunity, or they're not getting really sick. Now, are people landing in the hospital? Well, they are, and they're unvaccinated. But it's not creating problems for everyone else.
Well, it goes back to this issue of do vaccines work or not. I mean, if you are vaccinated, you are protected, I believe. I think the statistics prove that overwhelmingly. So why do you care if someone else is unvaccinated? It shouldn't matter to you.
I'm with you. And to me, it doesn't matter. I completely agree with you on this one, Zig. All right, I brought you on here to talk about this college sports issue, but I've been paying attention to this. I haven't talked about in the air the situation with Rachel Nichols and Maria Taylor, because this is kind of fascinating. It's one of those media stories that's playing out in the background, which I think a lot of people are not dialed into. You want to explain this one?
Well, it's a little complicated, but it basically comes down to this. Rachel Nichols is a longtime ESPN NBA-focused female announcer. She happens to be a white person. And she was concerned about a black woman taking her job, and she got recorded talking about this possibility to basically an assistant to LeBron James. And this recording happened apparently accidentally about a year ago, and it only became public last week when I believe the New York Times publicized it. And there's so many interesting and I think important elements of this story. It doesn't sound like an important story to talk radio listeners when you say it. Why do I care? Well, the reason I think it's interesting is because it tells you an awful lot about the media and how they relate to racial issues in this day and age, especially sports television, which is as woke as it gets. Where, ironically enough, Rachel Nichols, I think, bizarrely was vindicated in what she was being concerned about, not that I'm a Rachel Nichols fan, because she got taken off the air during the NBA Finals because of this, which basically proves her point that this is all basically a big game of racial demographics. And they looked at her as, okay, well, now she's a white female, and she's somewhat toxic because of this news story. We're going to take her off the air. I can guarantee to you, if the roles had been reversed and the black female had been recorded saying that a white person was going to potentially take their job, they would never have been taken off the air. In fact, they probably would be promoted to the best position possible at this point.
Yeah, it's interesting. But, so, John, like, this was a call with a guy named Adam Mendelsohn. It was last July. She's in a Florida hotel. She's quarantined. And this is before the NBA starts to resume the season. And the taping, the recording aspect of this is interesting. But she says this: I wish Maria Taylor all the success in the world. She covers football. She covers basketball. If you need to give her more things to do because you're feeling pressure about your crappy longtime record on diversity, which, by the way, I know personally from the female side of it, like, go for it. Just find it somewhere else. You're not going to find it from me or taking my things away. The feeling there is she's covered the NBA. She is an experienced, seasoned reporter. That was her gig. She didn't want it taken away because someone was going to come in her mind that did not have as much experience.
Right, but let's get down to brass tacks. I mean, I've been a television sportscaster many, many years ago, and I've obviously covered the media for decades, especially in the realm of sports, but I think even in news now. Television is basically determined, the jobs in television are determined by some sort of racial casting. I mean, it's really what it is. You got to have at least one black person. Ideally, you know, here in Southern California, you got to have a Hispanic person. In other areas of the country, you got to have an Asian person. You got to have a female. If you have to have a white guy, he's you know, probably at this point the weather guy. I mean, there has to be a proper racial blend. And
by the way, this is true for every commercial that you see. Just play a little game on commercials. If you can pick out the family that is not mixed race or the commercial that doesn't have, like, a quota of everyone in there.
Except for
transgender. I'm a little upset about not, you know, including transgender people. We'll see if they can work on that.
Yeah, I would love to see the unemployment rate right now for black male commercial actors. It has to be 0.00001%. I mean, it's unbelievable. Because even commercials that you wouldn't think they care at all about appealing to that demographic.
They do, though.
But it's almost like it's the law. And by the way, eventually it's going to be the law. I really do believe that, and either directly or indirectly. That's where we're heading. Because the left wants equity of outcome. That's what their new definition is. It used to be equal opportunity, which I'm 100% down with. Now they want equal outcome. That's their new word, equity. And that goes into reparations. That goes into socialism. I mean, that's the exact opposite of Martin Luther King Jr.'s entire mantra. So I do think that this Rachel Nichols story is both interesting and important.
You know, this brings up another issue because, and I talked about this yesterday, Sue, remember when I was talking about the LA Times story about the transgender woman, I guess, who went into the spa.
Oh,
John,
yeah.
you know that story? The transgender woman goes into the spa. There's kids in there. There's a penis involved. People complain. The spa takes the side of the transgender woman. The LA Times writes an editorial today about this. So here's a tweet that I get from a listener here a few hours ago. My wife and I were at Deerberg's in Arnold. That's a grocery store here in the area, John. She went to the restroom. She soon realized that a guy was in the next stall. I was shocked and in disbelief. I may stand next to the restroom door next time and prevent transgenders from entering. Such a shock. So how does someone, and I'm not trying to discriminate against anyone, but how is that right?
You're asking me?
In any world. Well, I just don't even understand how it can be defended by the LA Times and I guess by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch as well.
Because in their world now, if it's woke, it's inherently right. And by the way, they probably also don't have, small daughters or young daughters like I do. I have a 9-year-old daughter. I mean, I would be absolutely horrified if something like that happened. And that's where we're heading. And, I mean, these are no longer theoretical issues. These are happening in the real world. This is not going to be just, you know, a one-off lightning strike situation. As this becomes more and more prevalent, this is going to be an unavoidable situation. My 9-year-old daughter's already asking, you know, how is it that these women have penises? I mean, that's what, you know, because she's heard about this.
Yes.
I mean, so what am I supposed to say about that? I have no idea. I don't know what
I'm going to try to help you out here. This is from a TikTok, and this is a trans Dave and I were trying to keep this straight. If it's a trans woman, it's biological man who transitioned to a woman, right? Is that right?
Yeah.
John, do you know? I don't know. Anyway, listen
to
this.
It's hard to keep track of
this. This is a trans person.
It is rooted in fundamental transphobia. I hear a lot of gay men saying to me, well, I like men. I think that trans men are handsome, but I could never, ever sleep with one of them. Well, thank you for telling everyone you're very boring. Also, this is just transphobia. Like, I don't think any of you know what that word means, but it is, if you have to exempt or rationalize why you don't want to be with a transgender person in the first place, trying to get you to see how you're being transphobic is impossible.
So that's actually real. That was from a TikTok. So in other words, if you're a gay dude and you like other gay men, if that person doesn't have a penis, well, you're just being discriminatory. That's just bigoted of you. And if you, I guess by the same token, if you're someone who is heterosexual, I know we're in the minority these days, John, and you like a woman, if you wouldn't want that woman to have a penis, you're bigoted. You're just transphobic. If you don't want the person that you're going to sleep with and have a relationship with and perhaps a marriage to have a variety of appendages, you're bigoted.
Well, the part of this that I'm most mystified by, Mark, is the politics of it. See, I get when it comes to racial issues that the Democratic Party is completely beholden to the black vote. I get it. Without the black vote, their majority in the House, for instance, would collapse. They'd have no chance in the Senate. They probably wouldn't ever win a presidential election again. But I do not understand politically what is the benefit to appealing to what, 1% of the population, maybe 2% of the population, in a way that is abhorrent to at least 60% of the population. I do not understand it. I'm baffled.
And by the way, just I have many, many gay friends, and I've had this discussion with them, and they agree with us. They're not all in this. They're not all thinking the same.
That's why I'm saying
1 or 2%.
Because I don't even think I don't believe I'm agreeing with you. I don't even think it's the gay population.
Right.
It makes no sense.
All right, Zig. Well, here's what I've done, and I often do this. And by the way, I'm almost thinking about a different feature here when I bring you on. Little things that we didn't know about John Ziegler. Didn't know you were a sportscaster. And then you had that thing. What was it? A few months ago, you revealed something about O.J. Simpson, wasn't it? I forgot what that was.
Yeah, I'm a primary reason why O.J. Simpson ended up in prison in the Las Vegas heist.
Well, so I'm going to do a special feature on that moving forward. But the reason I say that is because we ran out of time, and I wanted to talk about
a column we never mentioned.
Damn it. But I'm telling you what, we're going to do it next week. Can you come back and do it? I'm so sorry. But I wanted to talk about Rachel Nichols.
All right, let's do it. Sounds good.
That's professional broadcasting. Bring the guest on to talk about a topic that you don't even cover. We got Sue's News, and I will have this amazing animal story to tell you about a deer that rescued a rabbit. You're going to think I'm joking. It really is quite crazy. And then I was attacked by some birds in front of my house today, terrorized by these barn swallows. Sue thinks I'm being mean to the birds. You can decide after 4 o'clock. The president of the Board of Aldermen, Louis Reed, is with me this afternoon talking about the pandemic relief. And, Louis, welcome to the show. I talked about these $500 checks that were being proposed by the mayor and some of the progressives. And I don't know, did you see, I hesitate in even offering his name up for consideration, but there was a tweet today by someone at the Post-Dispatch that targeted you. Did you have a chance to see that by any chance? You're a busy man.
No, I didn't.
All right, here's what he said. There's not a single logical, political, or moral reason for Louis Reed to oppose direct $500 payments to working class and poor St. Louisans to help them. It's the simplest proven, that's an interesting word, bipartisan way to help families recover. Saying no is just mean.
Well, tell me, Messenger, just plays to the crowd and continues to attempt to be the guy with a finger on the pulse of African American community. And he really couldn't be further from the truth. When you look at the things that we have in the bill and the things that we don't have in the bill, the things that we put in the bill, like $5 million for police overtime so that we can get to the bottom of some of these open murder cases, Attorney Messenger and others would say that's not good for the African-American community. But guess who put it in there? The African-American alderman led that effort. African-American aldermen led the effort to make sure that we have good funding in North St. Louis for our commercial districts that have been underfunded for so many years. They led the effort to say, guess what? We do not want homeless encampments in our neighborhoods. But folks like Tony Messenger and people like that, they look at it and say, okay, we know what's best for the African-American community. And quite frankly, it's getting tiresome.
It is tiresome.
As an African-American, first thing they should do is listen to the African-American community about what works for them. Don't assume that you know. And don't assume that you know better than the people who live through it and live in it every day. And that's what...
Well, Tony has a lot of struggles. Lewis, he lives in Wildwood. He's got a lot of struggles out there. So I'd be careful to dismiss that too quickly.
Yeah, he does. He has a hard life. But, the thing is, like some of my colleagues on the north side said, they said, guess what? Like last year, they were telling some of the young progressives, they say, the things that you're pushing will hurt us the African American community.
Yeah.
When I lay my head down every night, I'm an African American living in that neighborhood, so I know what's best. So don't assume that you know what's best for me. This bill that we put forward does some things that has not been done before. Right. The bill that Tony Messenger and those folks are supporting, the only thing they had in it for North St. Louis was a homeless tent encampment. And now they're upset that we took the homeless tent encampment out and put over $35 million in place so that we can revitalize those commercial districts over there so that small startup businesses from people who live in the community now will have the financial means to be able to get up on their feet and get some of these things started that we've seen happen in other areas of the city. So I'm really happy about the bill. It has broad support across the board of aldermen, and we plan to get it done and send it over to the mayor's office for signing.
Just to point out, there's assistance in this bill for rent and things along those lines that are going to help people that have suffered through the pandemic, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
We put money in place, millions of dollars in place for rental assistance, mortgage assistance, utility assistance, for food and nutrition, for job training. I mean, all the aspects, anything you think of, we now have incorporated in this bill. But you have folks like Tony Messenger and those folks who would rather go back to a bill that only thing that bill was delivering was homeless tent encampments to neighborhoods that were already struggling. And here's what I'd say to that. Not a one of them have ever had to live in or sleep in a homeless tent encampment. I have had to live in a homeless tent encampment. I know it is not a humane way and a way to help the homeless population move on and go and get them into a permanent, sustainable situation. Homeless tent encampments are bad.
Lewis Reed, passionate, angry. I'm pissed off as well. I love it. I'm glad you came on here clarifying. I don't like to give the gang at the Post too much attention, but it seemed appropriate in this moment. Lewis Reed, appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
All right. Thanks.
Get more at 971talk.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.